This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we stopped in the hadith, we discussed the hadith about benevolence, about kindness and goodness, tolerance, or another word that we can use is being merciful towards other individuals. The theme of mercy will continue inside today's hadith bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, whereby the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that hadith inside the Sahih from Imam Bukhari that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala la yarhamu Allah man la yarhamu an-nas. Allah doesn't show mercy to those who don't show mercy to other individuals or mercy towards mankind. Before we inspect or begin to speak about this hadith, we can pause and begin to reflect how concise these words are, or how concise many words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are. What is known as Jawami'ul Kalim, that he was given very precise, accurate words, short, simple words full of immense, great meaning. There are times he may even just say to an individual, La taghdab, don't get angry. Two simple words in Arabic, or in English, three words, has such a profound meaning. A great, deep understanding of a person can write a magnanimous work on just these words of controlling one's anger. And thus you find that these ahadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, of concise words, amongst the well collected of these ahadith, is a collection of Imam Nawawi's 40 ahadith, or actually 42 ahadith. And thus every single Muslim should study these ahadith, because these ahadith are concise words, profound meaning, deep meaning, benefit the individual inside their life. And amongst the best shuruhat, the best explanations written of these 42 ahadith, are what is known as Jawami'ul Kalim wal Hikam of Ibn Rajab al Hanbali, who took these 42 ahadith and added 10 more to them to make them 52. In some approximately 2 volumes in some prints that we find, or 300 pages each, explaining these precise words of the Prophet ﷺ and the deep impact it should be inside our lives. Because the Prophet ﷺ, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحِيٌّ يُوحَى, doesn't speak of his own desires. What he speaks is divine intervention, revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his words are accurate words, have deep penetration, deep meaning. That's when a person takes the words, the prophetic words, the prophetic guidance, it should change the individual, change the personality. That's what the impact of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was upon his followers around him. يُخْرِجُهُم مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, takes him out from the realms of darknesses to the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's these words of today that we find, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يرحم الله من لا يرحم الناس. Allah doesn't show mercy to those who don't show mercy to mankind, to the people around them. And this is a key concept inside the Quran, that we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to share the bounties, share the blessings, share the goodness. Because the essence of all fada'il, all virtues and goodnesses, return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَثَلًا, Allah mentioned, وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ, show goodness to people like Allah showed goodness to you. So when a person begins to show goodness to people, it's not weakness, it's not pleasure of the people, it's seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's acknowledging the ni'm, the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's mercifulness, being full of mercy and compassion and kindness. The intent of delivering this to humanity is to earn the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the human beings who practice being merciful, it returns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that is their intent. In a hadith in Sahih Muslim that we find, the very day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth, He created 100 parts of mercy. And from those 100 parts of mercy, He sent one part. 1/100th of that mercy, He sent it upon the earth. That one part of mercy that we find, the mother begins to show ash-shafaqa wa rahma, mercy and compassion and kindness towards her child and children. And even animals, as the hadith mentions, begin to show goodness towards their offspring or the animals that have been given to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved 99 parts of mercy with Him. And He will treat His servants with these elements of mercy, 99 parts, on the day of resurrection. This begins to at least help us to understand the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written it upon Himself to be merciful. In the same surah, Surah Al-An'am, Allah some verses later mentions, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ Your Lord has written it upon Himself to be merciful. Thus you find that ulama discuss that to go towards the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in certain states is more preferred. And a person should be spreading amongst humanity, spreading amongst Muslims, a concept of compassion, of mercifulness and kindness towards human beings. Another hadith that we find, Ar-Rahimuna Yarhamur Rahman. Those who are merciful to one another, Allah will be merciful and kind to those individuals. Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamukum man fis sama. Be kind and gentle to the people around you. What will you earn? You will earn the gentleness, the mercy, the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Arrahimu shujnatu min ar-Rahman. Faman wasalaha wasala Allah. Waman qata'aha qata'a Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith in the Sunan of Imam Tirmidhi. Ar-Rahim, that's what ulama logha linguistics begin to discuss, that you find that rahma, compassion, is taken from the same build-up of linguistics of rahim, which means the womb of the mother. Because the womb of the mother, it contains compassion for the child. And as whoever breaks the ties of kinship, breaks their link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever severs the ties, as you find min al-kaba'ir, from amongst the major sins that we find, is to break off your ties with your family members. And many times we mention that people complain that maybe my family members don't keep ties with me. What does it mean to keep ties with them? Other prophetic traditions that mentions, every time you keep ties with them, they break off ties with you. They're rude towards you. They don't acknowledge you. But the believer is the one who again keeps ties with them, builds ties with them. That's what the believer is. Because why? They're trying to earn the mercy and the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's you find amongst the many merciful components of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's bestowed upon all of us. Amongst the greatest blessings that we all know is a blessing of Al-Islam. Alhamdulillah, alladhi hadana li hadha, wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guided us to this. Deenul Islam, the path of Islam. If we didn't know the path of Islam, or was it bestowed upon us, we'll be as barbaric. We'll be as same as the rest of society around us, that we complain that look at their traits, look at their behavior, look at their etiquettes. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He delivered us away from that, guided us towards Al-Islam. So that same mercy and compassion should be inside our hearts, that call these people towards a path of mercy, towards a path of forgiveness. And thus we find this ultimate blessing after Islam, the second blessing that bestowed upon Muslims, upon this Muslim ummah, is the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Inside Surah Ali Imran, Allah mentioned, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Indeed, Allah has conferred a great blessing upon the believers, that He sent a messenger from amongst their own selves, who teaches them the book, teaches them the scripture, and He purifies them. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And prior to this, they were in manifest error, misguidance. This is our Prophet, the Prophet of Mercy. In the end of Surah Tawbah, we find قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. The end of Surah Tawbah that we find, indeed there's come a messenger from amongst your own self. It troubles him, it worries him, that you don't come to the path of guidance, forever worried over you, standing over you. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah describes him as the most compassionate, the merciful one. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا. For if you turn away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. You turn away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I place my trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the master, the owner of the magnificent throne. You know the side point, many times we find inside the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins surah speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking about the book, speaking about the revelation. And many times in different surahs that we find, Allah concludes the surahs speaking about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end of towards the end of Surah Al-Anbiya that we find, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We not send you except for the mercy to all of the world. This verse is placed inside Surah Al-Anbiya, the Surah, 21st Surah, speaking about the Prophets. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala place this verse when the name of the Surah is Al-Anbiya, speaking about the Prophets? An insight for us that the most magnificent favor upon the believers is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is more closer to the believers even than their own selves. And that's a person should read about the mercy, the compassion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Many books of seerah that we find. What comes to mind that we find? Al-Khasa'is al-Nabawiyyah al-Kubra al-Imam al-Suyuti. Voluminous work that we find praising the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, praising him, speaking about his life. And they made the ikhtisar of it as-sughra, a minor works as well, given the title of Al-Khasa'is al-Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most specific characteristics of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Even though this book needs a great tahqiq, a research to sift out many fabricated narrations, other narrations, but the point being here of writing about the life and focusing upon his mercy, his compassion, that should ignite our faith of how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was towards the subjects around him. Another verse inside Surah Tawbah that we find, وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. Pray upon them, meaning ask Allah subhanahu to forgive them, show them mercy. Indeed, your prayer upon them, سَكَنٌ. وَقَدْ فُسِّرَ سَكَنٌ بِمَعْنَى طَمَأْنِينَ أَوْ رَحْمَةٌ. Your salah, your prayer upon the people is a form of طَمَأْنِينَ, a form of tranquility inside their hearts, or a form of rahma, mercy. The supplication of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is full of mercy, compassion. That's you find the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam nadiran, very rarely did he pray against people. Most of the times he would pray for people. Even when they harmed him, they troubled him, he would pray for them, pray for their guidance. That was the compassion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And just to deliver, show us his compassion. Because sometimes people in our society, they think that being compassionate, being merciful, takes a concept of rujula, takes away your manhood away from you. Afdulul khalq wa afdulul bashar huwa Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And no individual can argue about his manhood, about his strength, about his power, about his might that was given to him. You find a narration that we find in Sahih Imam Bukhari that we find. One of his daughters, she sent a messenger, said, go and tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go and tell my father that my child, my son, is about to pass away. He's in a state of illness. So he responded to the message that maybe I'll come at a later stage, it's not that severe, we'll pray for the child. When the messenger came back and delivered that, She then said, go, prompted him again, go and call my father, go and call him, that my child is at the final moment of his life. So the Prophet ﷺ took two of his companions and he went there. And he held the child. And then you find that he began to weep. فَبَكَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. He began to weep. The people around him said, مَا هَذَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What is this? What is this that you're shedding tears? What are you weeping about? He said, this is the shafaqah, the compassion that Allah has placed inside the hearts of the believers. And whoever doesn't have it will not show mercy to mankind, show mercy to people. So you find al-buka, weeping for things that may trouble the human being, whether it be their children, their parents, their loved ones around them, doesn't take anything away from the individual. It's a natural feeling. What is forbidden in Islam is to go beyond the limitations, to wail, to cry, to complain, to lament. That's what's forbidden inside Islam. Another individual, the Prophet ﷺ posed a question to him, that this individual never embraced his children. 8, 9, 10 children. He never showed any love or compassion to any of his children. He said, this is a man that compassion be snatched out of his heart. Taken out of his heart. Love and compassion is the way of the believer. To show love towards children, show love towards people around them, is how a believer should conduct himself amongst the individuals that they love, especially being merciful to individuals, their family members and relatives. The Quran mentions that Surah Ar-Rum, the 30th chapter of the Quran, various ayat, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, from amongst the signs of Allah, the creation, the heavens and the earth, life and death that we find. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. From amongst these signs, He's placed your spouses, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah has placed love, immense love, وَرَحْمَةً, compassion and mercy between you. Indeed, there are signs of individuals who may ponder and reflect regarding this. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes family members. Place love and compassion between the believers amongst their family members. And thus you find that mercy and compassion, as many ulama of fiqh or seerah have discussed, when a person enters into their home, it shouldn't be a state of fear. That their family members fear them, their children fear them. It should be a feeling of happiness, contentment. That's why you find a man that you find is the one who takes care of his family members. He feeds them with what he eats. He dresses them with what he dresses. He avoids hitting her in the face. Even the ulama mentioned, أَنَّ الضَرْبُ لَيْسَ مِنْ رَجُولَةِ الْإِنسَانِ. A real person doesn't hit women. لِأَنَّ الرَّسُولَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ مَا ضَرَبَ أَزْوَاجُهُ. The Prophet ﷺ never ever hit any of his wives. Never ever hit any of his wives. He never raised his hands, إِلَّا عَلَى الْعَدُوِ, except for upon the enemy. فَهَذَا رَسُولُنَا قُدْوَتُنَا. That's our example should be, the Prophet ﷺ. And that's what we find. You find never to humiliate her, never to speak rudimentary words towards her, to despise her, to speak ill of her, avoid abandoning her, and likewise overlook her many mistakes. All this is based upon a few words in the Quran, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Ibn Atiyah and Ibn Ashur have a long discussion. What does it mean, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ? To live with her with goodness. These are all elements of living with your family members with goodness, of taking care of them. وَقَدْ قِيلْ فِي تَفَاسِيرِهِمْ, that it means to overlook اعوجاج المرأة, to look at the crookedness of the woman. As you find in the prophetic tradition, that a woman has been created from the bent rib of Adam. If you try to straighten it, you will break it. بمعنى تطلقها, you will divorce her. You have to accept certain aspects about a woman is different from the man. وليس الذكر كالأنثى, the woman is not like the man. This should be the basis of our society. Because the basis of this society has been fractured. The basis of this society is fractured. Because they say that the man is exactly like the woman.
the woman is exactly like the man. Both, they share the same aspects. They share exactly the same things. Our argument is such a simple argument, returning back to the Quran. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. The woman will never be like the man. The woman bears the child for 9 months. The woman weans the child. The woman has a biological makeup which is different from the man. So how can we share the same traits? How can we begin to just turn a blind eye? What this society is trying to preach and try to teach. That may Allah forbid that men and women are one gender that should share. Even the call of nature should be shared by both genders. What way of life is this? What way of understanding of life is this? That men and women are exactly the same and have exactly the same rights. This is breaking up the fundamentals of society. Breaking up the structure of society. Islam upholds society. Gives every single individual the due right. What they have to carry on inside their life. A woman doesn't share the same traits in Islam as a man. What is jihad al-mar'ah? What is the striving and struggling of a woman? Hajjuha. Her performing hajj. That's her jihad. She's not obliged to do what a man does. And no one should expect her to do that. No one should expect the woman to carry out the task what a man has to carry out inside society. Each of them have their own role. And as you find, as mentioned by the German Orientalists, it will be a great help. It will be a great help to dismantle Islam. If we could push the Quran inside and push the women outside. It would dismantle their Islam. The Quran, yes, it may sound harsh, is orthodox. The Quran mentions, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. Remain inside your homes. Do not come out the way of jahiliyyah. Read the tafsir of this ayat of Surah Al-Ahzab. Read the tafsir of Imam Al-Qurtubi, Al-Andalusi, famous Mufassir, how he speaks about women. This is speaking many centuries ago. He highlights that women would come out in days of jahiliyyah. Will wear scarves on their heads. Their earlobes are showing. Their earrings are showing. Their necks are showing. Their chest is showing. Their necklaces are showing. هذه حجاب الجاهلية. This is the hijab of jahiliyyah. انظروا اليوم. Look at the state of our society today. Imam Qurtubi speaks about his studies tafsir centuries ago. What is the etiquette of a woman? How to conduct themselves? How to behave themselves? But what do we find in the so-called Western world? Inside the same surah it mentions, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ. The same surah it mentions, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ. A woman should never be alluring, deceptive inside the speech. She should be blunt, brash and straight to the point. فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ. Lest a disease comes into the heart of that individual. وَهُنَّ قَدْ فُسِّرَ أَنَّ الْمَرَضْ بِمَعْنَى الشَّهْوَةِ. The disease here, as ulama tafsir they mentioned, is desire. So when people say that sawtul mar'a, the voice of the woman, is not desirous. It has no elements. The woman's voice is different from the man's voice. If the woman allures her voice, speaks in a beautiful voice, the Quran says, فَيَتْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ. The Quran says that it may raise an arousement in the heart of a human being. That's what the Quran is mentioning. So now either we are trying to challenge the Quran, or we found some new form of Islam that we think that will fit into the modern world. You know, at the moment in Wall Street, they've released an article about business ethics and etiquettes. And I don't want to sound derogatory. Hawla'i kuffar. They're disbelieving individuals. They've released etiquettes on how to engage in business with the opposite gender. La tajlis ma'ha biwahdiha. Never sit with a person of the opposite gender in private. Never sit with her with dinner. Never sit in a private room. Never speak to a private room. And even if, considering that all business meetings are to be segregated. This is Wall Street, America, at the moment. We as Muslims, we begin to shy away. You know, in America, they have fully institutes which are dedicated to only women who go and study there. In India, they have a train that runs only for women. Are they backward people? Are they believing in a medieval practice? That our Muslims come and say, well, this is some medieval practice of the 6th century. We can't implement this in our environment around us. The essence is, لِأَنَّ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ أَمْرَاضٍ. Because in their hearts, it's not just a sickness, it's sicknesses inside their hearts. They don't want to remove it from their hearts. They don't want to try to purify society. Islam is a form of mercy, compassion, to take people away from ills and diseases, to purify humanity, to make them to become good citizens and individuals, to being merciful towards the individuals that we love, that are dear to us. We find being merciful to the people around us. Muslims and non-Muslims alike, that we find. A Muslim shouldn't live a life of double standards of how they conduct themselves. There are some rare occasions whereby some rights of non-Muslims may be taken away for a justified implication inside the Sharia, which may exist. But that doesn't become common practice, that a person takes away their rights away from them, that you can steal from them, rob from them, take away from their property, not give them the due right. That's not how a Muslim is. And the biggest concern that a Muslim should have of the people around them is that these people are lost individuals. These are individuals who are heading towards Jahannam. That's what we find in hadith in Bukhari, that we find that the Prophet ﷺ gives his parable, that I am like a person who's kindled a fire, ignited a fire. And you find that the moths and the insects are going towards that light. And I try to prevent these moths and these insects, but they overcome me and they enter that person, enter into the fire. The Prophet ﷺ is trying to stop people to go into Jahannam. That's what a Muslim should be doing. We shouldn't be here to condemn people to the hellfire, especially people who are living. It's not for a Muslim to condemn any individual. But if a non-Muslim dies, then there's no harm in condemning them. Muslims shouldn't fall into this trap that maybe Allah will forgive them. Whoever is known to be a disbeliever, for kufru zahir, apparent, the disbelief is apparent, never showed any elements of belief. Works of aqa'id that we find, فَمَنْ شَكَّ فِي كُفْرٍ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. Whoever doubts their disbelief will commit kufr themselves. We make no other, no excuses for disbelieving individuals. No excuses for them. There's no signs that they took the shahada or inclination towards Islam, then the principle they are disbelieving individuals. وَلَكِنْ أَقْسْ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. For Muslims, you always find an excuse. You always find an excuse. No Muslim should condemn another Muslim to Jahannam. And especially if Muslims leave this world, then a person should always speak well of them, speak good of them, always praise them. And if there's something clearly a person which known in Bab al-Ilm, knowledge-wise, that person may need to write certain things about the individual. But a person that even then treads a fine line, not to say something which is inaccurate about the individual, to malign the individual, because their good deeds have stopped, their bad deeds have stopped. But they could earn more good deeds via the bad deeds that we commit. So a Muslim should always be looking at the focus of rahmah, mercy, compassion, encouraging individuals, speaking well of people, encouraging individuals. Likewise, find how to be merciful towards one another, as ulama have documented. Be forgiving of each other's faults that we find. Feel sympathy for others' suffering, day in and day out. Now people try to exploit that. Well, this is maybe because of their own sins, or do we really have to mention to people how Muslims are suffering in the world? Empathy and sympathy that you find is a way of a believer. You should be worried that there's Muslims there who are suffering, who don't eat well, who don't dress well, who don't have a good life, who don't have parents, who don't have siblings. This is a sign that rahmah has been taken out, that a person doesn't have the compassion towards people around them, doesn't awake by the suffering of the people around them, doesn't awaken them. And likewise, we find to love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to visit other individuals in times of sickness, to be there financially, otherwise, for another Muslim. This all shows mercy and compassion towards other individuals, not to oppress or do any form of injustice to another individual. not to spy, backbite, slander, despise or lie to one another. And likewise, we find not to hate or quarrel for a reason, or for no legitimate reason. That's what some of us have become. Just to find individuals, something to argue about. Something to speak ill about another individual. Something to find faults about another individual. It may be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy has concealed that person's mistakes, concealed their life, and may begin to expose our sins. And thus we find in the hadith, in Sahih Muslim, that we find that mercy, the rahmatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will get us into paradise. We find this hadith, aim to do good inside your life and be moderate. Be balanced and just inside your life. Don't always fall into the element of ghulu, of excessiveness inside your life. And be of good cheer, happiness, goodness. And none of you will be admitted to paradise by the virtues of his deeds. That doesn't mean that we give up doing deeds. Doesn't mean that we give up doing deeds is what this hadith is not trying to highlight. But we shouldn't rely on thinking that I have done this inside my life. I've achieved this in my life. I've done these good deeds inside my life. That now by default I deserve paradise. The companions pose this question, not even you, O Prophet of Allah. Not even you, he said, not even myself. I will not even enter into paradise except for if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enshrouds me, covers me with his mercy. That's even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that. And likewise the hadith it continues, and remember that the most beloved of deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, adwamuha wa in qalla. The most regular of actions even happen to be small actions. These are the things that I love about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On a regular basis of giving of sadaqah. That's you find that giving of sadaqah, charity, that you find if a person gives it to their loved ones, to their family members, double, triple the reward for keeping ties of kinship, giving them sadaqah, taking care of them, placing love and affection inside their hearts. Reward is increased for that individual who takes care of their family members who may be in a state of need. And that's in conclusion that we find, إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close to whom? Muhsineen, to the good doers. As we began with, وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Ihsan, perfection, goodness. Whoever is trying to reach perfection inside their life, goodness inside their life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb, is close to them. And that's why Ibn Taymiyyah speaks about ma'iyatullahi subhanahu wa ta'ala khasa lil mu'mineen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a closeness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those believing individuals who have certain traits, certain characteristics. Allah is close with them. And as you find, when Allah is the ally, the friend of an individual, Allah, that individual will always be successful. Allah wali alladhina amanu. Allah is the wali, the protector of those individuals who believe, will always be with those individuals. And likewise, when inside the same surah, inside Surah Al-A'raf, and even in the side from the holy surah, speaking about mercy, about compassion, speaking about the distinction between hellfire and paradise, about how these individuals will come on that day. All they've been told to ask is to believe in Allah. That's all they've been told to do. But look at the end result. They will ask, oh, send down upon us some food, even some water. Send it down upon us. But Allah will say, these people, Jannah, will say that this has been made haram upon you. Made haram for you. Not even a drop of water will come to the people of Ashabul Jahim. Not even a small drop of water. The people will say on that day, Ya Allah, we will give everything. All our family members, all our wealth, all our property. Everything. Everything to deliver ourselves from the fire. You know, you find in some risalat, you find speaking about Anna, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali's work, speaking about Jahannam. He said that you find that their tears will eventually become blood. That even you find that ships will be able to float on their blood and the amount of tears that were shed. But we ask you for something less than that. We ask you for one kalima. We ask you for one statement. And now you want to sacrifice everything inside your life. Everything you want to now offer it. We ask you for كلمة التوحيد. لا إله إلا الله. That's all that we asked you for. And you stayed away from that. You know, al-ikhlas wa al-tawheed. You know, a believing individual, I'm not mistaken, hadith of Sulaiman Tirmidhi. Wasahu ulama al-hadith have accepted it, this hadith to be authentic. You'll find a person who commit many sins on the day of judgment. Parchments, books, scrolls of sins will be there of the individual. All placed on the mizan. And you find one waraqah, one paper will come. Person will say, what is this one paper? What will this one paper do with all of these scrolls of ma'asi, of dhunub, of sins, disobedience, turning away from Allah? What's this one paper? What will this do on that day? This one paper will be placed on the scale and it will weigh, take away everything else. If you open that piece of paper, قول لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. The belief, the conviction inside one's heart will wipe it all away. هناك بعض الناس عنده مجرمين قد يقول إن أصاب disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But maybe inside their hearts there's some element of disturbance that they want to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rahmah inside their hearts, surrounding their life with obstacles and difficulties, trying to find a way out of their lives. And we come and we condemn people, we condemn other Muslims and say that these people will not make it to Jannah. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His infinite mercy. And as you find 100 verses later, Allah mentions, wa rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. 100 verses exactly later inside Surah Al-A'raf, Allah mentions that my mercy encompasses everything. And inside the hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that indeed my mercy will overcome my anger. It's something that Allah wrote down 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. That His mercy will overcome His anger. That He will show mercy. Specifically, ulama have mentioned, specifically towards the believers, towards the Muslims. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to place us underneath the shade and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make us amongst those individuals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlooks our misguidances, our misjudgments, our errors, and our mistakes upon this life. Conceals them, covers them up. And on their judgment doesn't expose them in front of the rest of humanity. May Allah conceal all of us inside this dunya, inside the akhirah.